Now I have a reading entitled Spring, Easter, and it's by Robert Weston. Here is a day of promise. May it be so with me, with everyone. The gray clouds scudding overhead, the storm clouds, rain, and the breaking sunshine, the apple blossoms bursting in pink and white, the children gleefully running out to splash in puddles, the grass green and the buds straining into leaves on shrubs and trees, and the birds singing joyfully in the dawn, strutting the lawns as proud possessors. Everywhere, life. Life bursting through all fetters, and the heart singing, protesting against gloom, shouting its defiance of clouds and cold. The gay heart exulting in storm and sunshine alike. This is a day that aches with the promise of life, life which will not be denied. Let all hearts swell with glad acceptance, joyful with the sense of the always becoming. For out of earth, into the air and sunshine, out of ourselves, there rises spirit in us. Neither dark nor threat shall thrust it down. It rises irresistible in us. This is the season's gift. Today is Easter Sunday, 2024. For Unitarian Universalists, this does not hold the greatness that it does in other Christian traditions. We began as Christian, however, and our cousins in Transylvania and Hungary still are very Christian. Oops, hang on. It is a secular and religious holiday in many ways. How do we, as UUs, reconcile that we don't follow the precepts of our ancestors or our present-day cousins? Our fourth source, listed in our six sources of our living tradition, states, Jewish and Christian teachings which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. We base our belief system on the six sources we affirm and promote. We acknowledge that we have UUs in all our congregations that specify that their beliefs lean more towards atheism and have an objectionable conviction to an anti-Christian belief system. We acknowledge this, and I would think most congregants who hold this belief system probably don't attend during the Christmas and Easter services, which is fine. There are those of us, however, who are either curious about these Christian traditions or uphold these beliefs, either through past religious experiences or the credo they have created for themselves. Today is one of those days. I would imagine that if someone has been harmed by past religious experiences, celebrating an Easter service would be quite cynical or even damaging. Unitarian Universalism many times attracts those members who have been harmed by other religions, and they have found respite here. So this morning's service is not meant to harm, but to enlighten. I myself was raised Catholic, and I can't say that I was particularly harmed by it, but it really wasn't my cup of tea. Consequently, I am fascinated by those articles I read critical of the man called Jesus and all of the remembrances of that faith. I do miss the ritual. I miss the candles and pomp and circumstance, as I thought those elements were pretty cool. I even liked the incense and missed last Sunday receiving a palm frond. When I was younger, it was always fun to be given one of those, and we were actually taught how to craft a cross out of our palm frond and take it home. How some of those things relate to Easter, I'm not sure. And I can certainly understand those who would... Oops. Sorry that I'm on my laptop. And I can certainly understand those who would be skeptical or even derisive of the markers of that faith. But that's not what today's service is about. What does Easter mean for Unitarian Universalists? So to explain Easter a bit more, the dating of Easter is pretty complicated. The Nicene Council, which occurred in 325 Common Era, decreed Easter to be the first Sunday after the full moon, following the spring equinox, after March 21st, unless that full moon fell on a Sunday, in which case Easter would be the following Sunday. Okay. Early Christians wanted to distinguish themselves from Jews, who date Passover according to a different calendar. So it's been said. Or it could have been an attempt to include pagans along with Christians when they devised the calendar. It also has been said that the pagans wanted to distinguish themselves from the Jews as they calculated Passover. We don't really know. We do know that the pagan word for spring is Easter, spelled O-E-S-T-E-R, after the Teutonic goddess of spring, and we know the name came from that. The spelling changed over the years. Astarte was the goddess of the rebirth of spring, and the sun reaches back to the beginnings of civilization. One interpretation on a Christian site says it all began at the Tower of Babel. So who knows? When I was in Transylvania for my scholarship, visiting Unitarian ministers there and attending their services each Sunday, I saw how devoted they were to the cyclical holidays. I wasn't there during Easter that year, but did attend on Pentecost. The services were very similar. That gave me the opportunity to discuss our faith here in the U.S. and compare it to theirs. They still use the Bible in their services each week. They still are seated with the men on one side of the church and the women on the other, with outside guests seated in the middle. They will not change. I asked that of a minister once, and he almost laughed at my question because it sounded so absurd to him. Their religious traditions are deeply embedded in their way of life. Later, I will show you how they hold communion and when they did. There is still rebellion in their faith. It does not follow the state religions there, and they still hold a very strong sense of independence for what they believe. I admired that. There is no question as to their faith. They all share the same faith precepts, and there is not any conversion to any other belief system for them. They are of the old ways, and progress takes a long time to take root. There's something to admire when I was there of the strength they have in what they believe in. That is a part of the admiration I held for them as I watched how they lived their lives each day. They believe that Jesus lived, but that he wasn't part of God itself. That's where the term Unitarian comes from, one God. Egyas Isten is the Hungarian wording for God is one. There is our first major difference. However, we do view Jesus as a prophet. They do believe he lived, and they hold him up as a model of how to live their lives. For if you read the stories about Jesus, he was an amazing human being. He only became angry at the money changers as they were cheating people and turned over their tables in anger. In all the stories, he always came out as the kind and decent man, the quiet man who helped the poor, the hungry, the downtrodden. What we as UUs think of ourselves as the kind of people who help those who need help. Isn't that our mission? We are social justice warriors. We collect food each week. In nearly all of our congregations to help food pantries and those who are hungry. We seem to model ourselves with the workings of what we are told Jesus did. So why do we sometimes have an aversion to even hearing his name? I had a professor in seminary who told us in class once, think of how they made copies of the Bible back then. There weren't any printing presses yet, so they probably had a room full of men who listened to someone read the copy he had, and then they would write down what they heard. He was skeptical as he said, what if someone needed to leave to go to the bathroom? Or maybe they were tired and fell asleep? Or maybe they were hard of hearing and missed some words? These were all possibilities, he said. We don't know that the words we are reading are really words from God. I got the impression that in Transylvania, there was much belief that these were the words of God. Again, here is a distinction between our beliefs and theirs. My professor also indicated that we really don't know if Jesus was one person or a compilation of five people. We don't know if he even existed. Maybe someone made him up just to write the book and help people to believe in the goodness of human beings. That would be a good reason, wouldn't it? In an article I found while searching on the internet, it was entitled, Jesus Never Existed, says news report that finds no mention of Christ in 126 historical texts. They say that stories have been around for years, arguing that the story of Jesus bears a close resemblance to numerous other mythological stories of ancient gods who were born of virgin mothers and performed miracles. Michael Palkovich summarizes his findings, or lack of findings, which led him to believe that Jesus never actually existed, but is instead a fictional character made up to give followers of the religion founded in his name a central icon worthy of their worship. This could be considered sacrilegious to even voice those words on this day of all days. However, it is what many of us believe. He goes on to write that out of the 126 texts he examined, only one even mentioned Jesus, and that was added in later from a different author. He states that text is the first century history book, The Jewish Wars, by the Roman historian Josephus Flavius, who wrote his work in the year 95 CE. He lived about a mile from where Jesus did all of his work, and he never mentions him, Palkovich said. If someone was that much of a threat to the Roman Empire, why wasn't he mentioned? He makes a good point. I'm sure there are many citations we could make to discount the existence of Jesus. What intrigues me is the life that is described in the New Testament. Here was a human being who did so much good in the world, not just for humanity, but for all living beings on the planet. If we can look at him and emulate that behavior, we could literally change the world. And especially if Christians themselves could emulate Jesus' behavior, our world could become paradise. So what is it we resist about celebrating Easter? Or do we? We have Easter egg hunts, we eat candy, we decorate and wear Easter bonnets. We love all the secular portions of what some celebrate for Easter. But what can we glean from not just these secular elements, but for ourselves to grow within us? We can learn from anything. We can learn from the Bible. We can learn from the Torah. We can learn from the Quran. The one thing harming our country right now is not listening to one another. I know that can be hard. I know sometimes every fiber in my being wants to close my ears as to what some others are saying. This is the moment I know, and it's hard, when I really need to open my ears and listen. We all have preconceived notions of our own beliefs, and not to say they are not valid, but to think in terms of what if. Sometimes I can learn from the least person I'd ever expect to learn from, and that is by opening my ears and listening. I saw a clip from Jimmy Kimmel the other day where they posed a sentence that Trump had said and attributed it to President Biden. The interviewees derided the statement when they thought it was Biden's, and then when corrected, they had an excuse for Trump saying it to make it okay. It made me laugh, but also made me think, am I a person that is so set in my beliefs that I cannot change my mind no matter what? I hope those folks saw themselves on TV. I hope we all can see ourselves and our beliefs. We all have room for improvement, and these days, our country definitely needs improvement. Jesus was a good listener. He listened, and then he spoke. Then he spoke. I sometimes want to speak first and then listen. I will not learn from that. I will learn by listening. So in this springtime of 2024, with all the history we have at our disposal, let us listen and let us learn. It could be a new reawakening to our senses to do this if we don't already do it. Spring is for new life. Easter can be a new beginning. May it be so. Blessed be. And now I will have a Unitarian communion to show you. When I was fortunate enough to gain a scholarship to spend a month in Transylvania while I was in seminary, I was able to learn so much about our roots of Unitarianism there. I was fortunate enough to observe a communion. This one was to celebrate Pentecost, but they did the same ritual for each observance, which occurred four times per year: Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, and their Thanksgiving, which is at the end of September. I was staying at a Unitarian minister's home, Reverend Robert Baleen, in Metzger, also known as the Alabaster Village, where Furi Balash had lived, who was the scholarship is named after. And I watched him prepare the communion table in the parish house that morning before he took it to the sanctuary. As we just heard, Unitarianism in Transylvania is still much more Christian than here in the U.S., as we did come from the Protestant Reformation, as did many other denominations. I watched him take a loaf of bread, cut off the crust, cut the loaf in 1-inch strips, cut the strips into 1-inch cubes, and cut those in half. There was a sacredness and meaning to each step, and he blessed the bread, covered the cubes with a white napkin, set on a white napkin, laid on a silver tray that he carried from the parsonage to the church. The meaning for Transylvanian Unitarians was not the transubstantiation of the body of Jesus. It was the love of God for all. It represented that God cared for all of us and loved us. In the sacred tradition of Unitarian Communion on this Easter day, we will be breaking bread together this morning, representing our humanness in our need for nourishment, our need to eat, our need to be in community, and if you believe so, the representation of a God in your life. Your belief here is truly your own. We are together in community. Let us break bread together. Let us show our trust in one another, our participation in this beloved community, and our gratitude for how we can show compassion in the world. As you approach, please take a piece of bread and place gratitude for all you have in your heart. At this time, those on Zoom may also be able to take a piece of bread.
Sorry.